Welcome to East Texas News Roundup for the week ending April the 26th, 2019. East Texas News Roundup is a weekly review of the news in five Southeast Texas counties covered by Polk County Publishing Company newspapers, including Tyler, Polk, Trinity, San Jacinto, and Houston counties by the editors of those five newspapers. Polk County Publishing Company manager Kelly Borns kicks off this week's podcast.
Well, hello from Polk County Enterprise. My name is Kelly Borns. I'm the manager at this location, and I am looking at the top news of Sunday and Thursday's paper. It looks like some very interesting things are happening in the Polk County area and even in our region. I'm going to go ahead and start with the story that Valerie has written that is in our Thursday edition that talks about the execution of John King for the hate crime that occurred in Jasper, Texas, a long time ago. This guy's been on death row for many years, and the crime occurred June 7th, 1998. If some of you don't remember that, a gentleman by the name of John King dragged a gentleman by the name of James Byrd Jr. to his death. It became national news. As a matter of fact, a dear friend of mine who has passed away, Willis Webb, was the editor of the Jasper Newsboy at the time this occurred, and he wrote award-winning news stories as it related to this because it happened in the community where he was publisher of the newspaper there. He and his wife worked together. And so it happened. On Wednesday night, he was executed for his crime here in April of 2019, and that is definitely a regional top news story. Another interesting story that's going on that affects the country is Lacey K. Booth on American Idol is from Livingston, Texas, and she's doing very well. I happen to be a person who watches American Idol, and I remember when Cree Harrison was in the top four, and she came to Woodville, Texas for her parade and hometown visit. And at the newspaper there in Woodville, the Tyler County Booster, we did a big section all around that trip. And now I'm here in the Livingston office and having another opportunity for one of our local singers in East Texas to have this opportunity to be on American Idol and show the country her abilities. And I'm hoping that she makes the top four and gets a hometown visit and we can do something special for her here at the Polk County Enterprise. But there's a big story about her written by Chris Edwards, who is our editor in Tyler County, and he's also a singer-songwriter and a music buff, and he does a lot of features on singers in our area. So now he's getting to do a feature on Lacey K. Booth, who's being recognized nationally. And so we'll be following her, and we will keep you posted, obviously, in our newspapers. And what is really cool about local newspaper is that we'll do some things about Lacey K. Booth as she progresses that no one else will do, because she's from here and we can hyper-localize it and talk about things that people in Polk County care about. It's very fun to watch her on the national stage and to see all the recognition that she's getting. She represents a small town singer-songwriter who can be pushed into the spotlight and have the opportunity for success, and that's very exciting for everyone. But there's things about her life and teachers that everyone here knows that taught her in school and things that we can cover. And so keep your eye on the Polk County Enterprise as you're following this journey for Lacey K. Booth. There's another journey in Polk County that I think is very interesting that our editor Greg Peek has written about, and it's about the courthouse restoration study that they have now extended to the old annex. And if you remember, there's a lot of history about that building that you see by the courthouse, and it's got the wooden things that are keeping it standing upright. There was a time when that almost got torn down, and the Historical Society voted to keep it up, and they stabilized it. And now I'm going to read you what the cutline says on page one of Thursday's paper. It says, thanks to changes in a Texas Historical Commission courthouse preservation grant, funds have become available to perform a stabilization study for the century-old courthouse Annex, also known as the Campbell Forman Building. The 1904 structure is located on the Courthouse Square in Livingston. So that's a story that we need to follow, because wouldn't it be really cool if that 100-year-old building was able to actually be restored after all this time? So that's really neat. Another story that is on page one of Thursday's paper is written by Brian Besh, who you know more as our sports editor covering the sports all over Polk County, but he also is a very strong news writer, graduate of Texas A&M, and we're very pleased to have Brian on staff. And he has done a story about the General Land Office going to rebuild a Harvey-damaged home. And I'll read you the cut line. I encourage you to get the paper and read the story. A mobile home north of Livingston that sustained extensive water damage during the 2017 Hurricane Harvey was torn down Monday, and a new home is set to be built in its place under the Texas General Land Office's Texas Homeowner Assistance Program. So there's a lot more information in the paper about that. Speaking of Brian and sports, he's keeping us on track, talking about some of the Livingston athletes that will go to Huntsville this week to participate in the Region 3 UIL meet. So this is something exciting to watch for. It looks like we've got Annie Woods and Montana Piper, Merrick Brister, Mason Walker, and Gavin Kelly, Keon Perkins, Chris Washington, Justin Legg, and Ravis Wallace, Keonia Smith. Now, forgive me if I've said any of those names wrong, but these are some highly athletic kids who are getting to go to this regional track meet. So that's exciting. We'll keep watching that. And Livingston Tennis has at regionals, regional qualifiers at the Region 3 tournament at Bryan High School. Senior Vaughn Whitley, sophomore Kaylin Parker, senior Aubrey Cherry, and senior Mia Brumley, and senior Garrett Jones. We also have some other pictures of them in action. So keep an eye on this. There will be playoffs. The actual softball playoffs started yesterday. Last night, Corrigan Camden played, and we need to keep following that. Looks like Sunday's paper, we have a really cool picture here of Luke King, who threw 6-plus innings for the Bulldogs, allowing just one run. Keep an eye on Brian's sports pages. He's everywhere, and he always keeps us posted on what's going on. So there's one more thing I'll talk to you about. You can always count on the Enterprise for giving you up-to-the-minute crime coverage. And when I say up-to-the-minute, I do not mean it just happened, I don't know any facts, but I'm going to say something online quickly. What you can count on with the Polk County Enterprise is that we will follow the story, we'll get accurate information, and we'll get it to you as quickly as possible. When you read it, you will know it's not hearsay and that it is accurate information. So there are some stories. There was a woman that was killed in a collision here in Livingston. Her name was Josie Shutter. And also there's a man that has been jailed for child sexual assault, and his name is Eugene Schneider. That's in the paper, and you can read about him. And then there's a drug charge for Erica Case, who it was a traffic stop, and she's now been charged. So again, the real estate guide has come out this week. So if you're looking for property in Polk County, all the top realtors are in the real estate guide, and it is in Thursday's paper. So be sure and pick that up so you can check it out. It's color, it's got pictures, and it describes all the properties, and there's prices and ways to contact your realtors. So it's looking good here in Polk County. We're really excited about springtime. The weather is getting nice. People are perking up. And we have a lot of things to look forward to. Tons of sports and, of course, the national scene following Lacey K. Booth. And I just want to thank you and have a good week.
This week in Trinity County, we have a feature on four seniors who play softball at Trinity High School. They're all four-year lettermen, and they have played together since they were 7 years old. We also have a picture of Centerville graduate Coy Westbrook, who is a senior at Texas A&M. He recently spoke at the Houston County A&M Club's Aggie Muster, which took place last Saturday. Aggie Muster is a tradition that honors Aggies and Aggie supporters who passed away during the previous year, and Texas A&M is huge on their traditions. Groveton Mayor Byron Richards also wrote a letter to citizens regarding Groveton's Green and Clean Day, which take place Friday, April 26th through Sunday, April 28th. And Jacob McAdams, our San Jacinto County editor, wrote a preview story on the upcoming Hug a Tree, Kiss a Fish function that takes place May 17th through 19th at Camp Cullen in Trinity. This event is put on by the Community and Children's Impact Center in Cold Spring. We also have pictures of Easter egg hunts that took place at Centerville and Apple Springs schools prior to releasing for spring break or Easter weekend. And the Groveton FCCLA advanced 8 teams to the state FCCLA competition earlier this month, and 8 students will advance to the national competition in Anaheim, California this summer. And on Monday, April 29th, the Harlem Wizards will come to Trinity High School. The event will take place at 7. They will also have showcases at 2 p.m. on Friday at Lansbury Elementary School in Trinity and at Trinity High School. And we have 3 softball teams who are in the playoffs: Groveton, Apple Springs, and Trinity. Trinity plays tonight at 7:30 against Danbury at Waller High School in Waller. It is a 1-game playoff. Groveton played the first game of its best-of-3 series against Shelbyville last night in Huntington. They play tonight at 6 p.m. as well, and if the series is tied after tonight, the rubber game will be Saturday at 7 in Palestine. And Apple Springs' best-of-3 series opens at 7:30 p.m. today against Chirino. They will return tomorrow, Friday, to play Game 2 at 3:30, with a third game to follow 30 minutes after the conclusion of the second game if necessary.
Howdy everybody, Chris Edwards here, representing the Tyler County Booster and bringing you the news from my neck of the woods in a rounded up fashion. It's been a pretty eventful week, a couple of big stories, so let's get right at it. The lead story this week was a tragic wreck that happened last Wednesday right outside of Warren, which is south of Woodville. And what happened was a church bus from the First Baptist Church of Warren, was 9 people on board the bus, and the driver saw a car that was pulling out onto the road and tried to avoid a collision with the car, but instead lost control and left the road and struck a tree. Everybody who was on board the bus was injured to various degrees. DPS is still investigating the accident, so there's not been a lot of updates on individual conditions of people who were on board, but one person who was on the bus died. It was a 42-year-old James Kraft Jr. from here in Woodville, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. There were 2 other adult passengers. The guy who was driving the bus, Robert Craig of Wildwood, he's got a long road ahead of him, and we've gotten some updates on him through his wife's postings, and there's been a GoFundMe page set up for him and to offset some of those medical expenses. And then Doug Sheffield, who was the other adult passenger, there's been no word on him, but he was transported to a hospital in Beaumont with serious injuries, according to the DPS. And the rest of the passengers were children, and according to DPS, none of their injuries were life-threatening, but no further word. And again, this wreck is under investigation still by DPS, so we'll be bringing you more news and findings if there's any developments to break about that. When this happened Wednesday evening, it was right around 5:30-ish when it happened, and I got news of it around about that time. Right away, I mean, without knowing the specifics of anybody on board, of their condition or whatnot, people took to social media and were just very prayerful and you know, expressing concern for these people. So we've seen some things about community coming together on these people's behalf. So stay tuned, because there's probably going to be some benefits and things happening to offset some of these medical costs and to show the people that that we're thinking about them and supporting them all the way. Something like that happens in a small community like ours, or in Tyler County, it's like everybody knows about it and wants to do what they can to help. Whether it's a house fire or a tragic wreck like this, it seems like everybody can pull together and some good can come out of it. Some good comes out of tragedy eventually. So moving along, the next story that we broke this week in the Booster has to do with a Hardin County man who was arrested in 2014 and charged with continuous sexual assault of a child. Now, this man was from Hardin County, from Honey Island, that area, but a lot of these incidents occurred in Tyler County as well as in Hardin County. And it was a 42-year-old Michael Clint Wallace Jr. He was sentenced to 70 years here in the Tyler County Courthouse. And the trial was prosecuted by people from the State District Attorney General's office. 70 years. It took the jury, I think, 15 minutes to return a guilty verdict and 15 minutes of deliberation. And Judge Gibbs Walker gave him 70 years. Along with that, Sheriff Brian Weatherford issued a statement saying that he and his department will continue to work vigilantly with our DA, Lucas Babin, to investigate and to prosecute sexual assault or sexual abuse cases in Tyler County. And he also added that crimes like this have lingering effects on the survivors, and their perpetrators will be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. Another story, a little bit more positive, note here. I covered the Woodville ISD board meeting Monday night, and in his monthly report, Glenn Connor, who's WISD superintendent, gave some updates on a program that we've mentioned last month that was in the very elementary stages at the time. Well, this program is a alliance between several school districts and a college and university. So Lamar Institute of Technology and Stephen F. Austin State University have partnered with several of these school districts in the area to create an academy type situation where high school students will be able to attain dual credits, college credit as well as high school credits while in high school. And this is different from the way that's been done fairly recently, in that this is going to be a real college type environment, the way it was described initially. And it will be at the old Angelina College Teaching Center in Jasper. Well, they have a name for the program now. It will be operating under the name the Deep East Texas College and Career Alliance. And so far, there's been 6 school districts that have signed MOUs expressing interest in this. And then in May, on May the 20th, there's going to be another MOU signing day for these districts to proceed further with it. And there's also going to be a day of orientation for potential students as well as their parents to become acclimated with it. There seems to be a lot of good that this program promises. And Mr. Connor himself called it a huge, huge benefit and asset to our kids in the future. And when he first spoke about it in March, he said that in all of his years of education, and he's been in that game for about close to 40 years now, and he's been Woodville superintendent for about 15, I believe. He said that this potentially is the best thing he's seen to come along in all of his years as an educator. So that's great. See where this goes. It can lead to nowhere but good places, I hope. Give our kids a lot more opportunity. As a matter of fact, students who participate in this program will be able to possibly have an associate's degree by the time they graduate high school. So, good stuff. The last thing I want to make note of is, and we've got an event coming up this Saturday near Woodville. You know, everybody talks about the halcyon days of drive-in movies and things like that. Well, it's hard to find a drive-in theater anymore. And there's probably like 12 of them scattered about the lower 48. This Saturday, there's going to be a screening of a film titled The Follower. And it's going to take place at the home of Bill and Brenda Cloyd, who live near Woodville. And the movie's going to start up around dark. So they're doing this, and it's sponsored by the Peachtree Community Church out of Chester. Now, not only are they going to show the film and have a bonfire and refreshments and all that, and just an all-around good time, but one of the performers from the movie is going to be on hand to introduce it and do kind of a meet-and-greet kind of situation. Goodwin, actually, who is one of the 3 stars of the film, will be there. And the film, the information I got was it was described as a kind of a Christian-themed version of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So kind of a more lighthearted kind of comedy with a message kind of thing. And Dean Cain, who played Superman in the Lois and Clark series in the early 90s, he's in the movie too. He plays the no-nonsense sheriff who the other 2 characters have frequent run-ins with. So it should be a good time for everybody who comes out to that. And if you need directions to Cloyd's home, that's published in this week's edition of the Booster. So pick one up if you're in Tyler County or passing through or whatever. A lot of good information. information in there. And also, we have a community calendar in the newspaper that we run every week that has a lot of other events in Woodville and Coleman Hill, Chester, Spurger, Doucette, you know, throughout all of Tyler County. So check it out, because, you know, it's always a contention of people in small towns. It seems like no matter where you're at, whether it's Woodville or Jasper or, you know, wherever, that there's always going to be people who say, oh, well, there's nothing to do around here. But, you know, there is. I mean, you just got to keep your eyes open and pick up a newspaper. You know, there's always going to be, there's always something going on. And it seems like this spring, there's a lot of cool things that are starting to blossom. Like, we're going to be featuring this pretty soon. The Emporium is going to have some shows coming up, not just art exhibits and things like that in the gallery, but there's going to be some live music, and we're going to have more information about that soon. So stay tuned on that note. So I guess that's about it as far as some noteworthy things that happened over the course of this past week, taken from some of the headlines in the Tyler County Booster. Like I said, if you get a chance to pick up a copy of it or subscribe to our online paper if you have a notion, just stay informed and keep abreast of things. Anyhow, my name is Chris Edwards, and sure do thank you for listening to this podcast. And as always, you guys be good to one another and be good to yourselves too. And oh, one more thing to make note of, an in-house or talking about one of our own, but I mean, Jim Powers, who was I call him a gem of all trades, jokingly, you know, jack of all trades. Well, he's a gem of all trades. He's the one who mixes and edits this podcast and many others that brought cast out of the company, and also he's an incredible photographer and writer and editor, and has worked for us for a long time. He does a lot of things for us. He is on the mend. I saw him yesterday. He got sprung from the hospital and just raring to get back at things. So if anybody out there knows Jim or just appreciates listening to this podcast, and you've heard his work and don't even know it, but just whatever your good thoughts, or send a few words up for him or whatever, and that he's back and better than ever soon. I know we miss him around the office. Anyhow, without further ado, I bid you all good night, and thanks for listening.
Hello, East Texas. Megan Whitworth here for your update on the latest in Houston County. So, it's been a good minute, y'all, and we have a lot going on here in our neck of the woods. So, let's catch up. So, on April 13th, Houston County got hit by very severe weather, which included three tornadoes. One hit the Tadmore area, which is located near Ratcliffe, and one near Lovelady, and another hit Waitches, which went into Alto, which is a small town in Cherokee County. We lost one life here in Houston County. Some homes were destroyed, some injuries, trees were knocked down. Their crews are still cleaning up the areas that were drastically hit. But the amazing part is that just moments after the storm was over, the people of East Texas really started to show who they were. There were reports among reports of people serving one another, donating items in need, giving clean water, and really starting the cleanup process. In the latest edition of The Courier, I shared a few stories of people that helped out and showed up. One of those was the local Pizza Hut in Crockett, though a worker there donated 98 pizzas along with 6 cases of soda to those in need. That's really awesome, because a lot of people sometimes are looking for the needed hygiene kits and clothes, but a lot of times people forget about, hey, a pizza, that will make them really happy, and especially Pizza Hut, their breadsticks are dabomb.com. Anyways, that's just my opinion. And other people that helped out, a local woman, Brittany McBrayer, she raised over $4,500 within days after the storm hit to purchase items in need. And another local woman, Megan Easley, told the story about a friend that their home in Waitches received a lot of damage from the storm. She shared that nearly 30 people came out that day to help clean up. She said that when you went to the yard, you couldn't tell the difference between the forest, the home, and the yard. But she said within hours that they were able to help them get their power on and start to clean up, something that would have taken days if those people hadn't showed up to help this neighbor in need. So it's just wild to think that life can change so fast. That one afternoon, 1 hour of bad weather can make you lose a home, a life. But It's what we do afterwards that really tells a lot about who you are and what you do and what you believe in. And the people of East Texas really showed up to help those in need. And it's just amazing to see the human spirit come alive to help start those rescue efforts. So I like to say when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And Houston County community residents really showed that they are the tough that gets going. So moving on, the hot topic around Houston County, just going to the bank or to the store, even on Facebook and social media, it's all about the Houston County Hospital District. And in this week's newspaper is no different. We're not going back and forth or anything. And our news storytelling, we're just telling what happens. And in this week's issue, we have two stories about the latest Houston County Hospital District meeting that happened on Tuesday, April 16th. And one of the big items that was breaking news for us was that a debt the Houston County Hospital District owed the East Texas Medical Center Foundation is being forgiven, which is a large amount, and that was just something huge for this area. So during the meeting on April 16th, the executives of the foundation, the news came that they offered to cancel the debt, and the board of directors, the majority of them, jumped on the opportunity to accept the offer during the meeting. And board director Dr. Bob Greer kind of told the little backstory on how that happened. He said that when East Texas Medical Center, when they dissolved and sold themselves, a foundation was formed that took the money that was given in the sale. And he said, in quote, "But then they were left with those properties and other entities that were in the red. There was a note on the medical office building, the two-story building, and the clinic building," end quote. And the note originally was due on May 31st, but Greer continued during that meeting. He said, in quote, "I put together a negotiations committee and we went and spoke with the East Texas Foundation person, and then he spoke with the board and the agreement says that they would forgive the note, and the current note is a few dollars shy of $4 million. So his motion, well, in quote, so Greer's motion was to accept that and proceed with the approval of the letter of forgiveness. And there was some discussion going back and forth on it, but ultimately the majority agreed to accept the offer. And there is also a second part story in there talking more about the meeting and the latest edition of the Courier. So definitely check that out. Alton Porter definitely worked so hard on that to get to the readers to know, hey, this is what happened. This is what's going on. So definitely take a read. In sports related news, the Crockett Bulldogs track and field team continued its winning ways, securing the area championship in a 15-team meet last Tuesday at Cameron. And just a little rundown, placing in 15 events, the Bulldogs piled up 108 points to finish number one by a comfortable margin over Rogers, 83 points. Elkhart was third with 75 points, followed by Franklin with 63, McGregor with 54, Rockdale with 51, Cameron Yale with 48, Grosbeck with 37, Palestine Westwood with 25, Frankston with 20, Lexington with 19, and Troy with 13. Buffalo, Tag, and Little River Academy each had 8. So just a little breakdown, Crockett's regional qualifiers included 3 first place finishers along with a pair of seconds, 3 third places, and 5 fourth places. 2 Bulldogs were among the top 10 individual point earners. DeMarcus Richardson finished number 1 with 28 points, and Alton Owens tied for 7th with 15 points. Crockett edged out Rockdale with first place finishes in the 400 and 800 relays. And then just a little more, the 400 relay team comprised of Alton Owens, Christian Bryce, DeMarcus Richardson, and Shannon Bacon. And they took first with a time of 42.62, edging out Rockdale's 42.81. And I will not spoil all of the times because you have to check out that article. It starts on C1. And this week, our sports editor, Larry Lamb, did an awesome job in photographing many of those students who did so good. And I was never a sports athletic person. I was often bullied, but that's another story for another time. But it's awesome to see these kids working so hard and doing so great at these athletic competitions. So thank you for the students to represent Crockett, the Crockett Bulldogs, and these not championships. So getting on, there are just even more kids qualified and are doing great things, and you want to check that out. Just congratulations on those kids for working so hard. Even to the kids in East Texas that didn't do first place in other cities, you did great by participating. it's always important to recognize those people. So we definitely have a lot going on in Houston County. This week's issue, and even including the past couple of issues, are jam-packed full of articles, events coming up, and political madness. There's lots of ads that are, say, go vote this way. Vote this way. So definitely read these articles and pay attention to what you're reading and just get up to date on your facts, as this is election season. It's among us. May 4th is a big day for Houston County. Early voting's going on, and questions that arise are, will we have a new mayor who will be elected to the hospital district? And so many questions that will very soon have the answer. So this is your reminder. Go vote. Participate in your county. Let your voice be heard. This is your time to shine and your time to express your opinion. And I have such a belief that to go vote and to get involved in your community. I'll get off my soapbox now. On that note, remember to follow the latest updates on Facebook at HC Courier and our website at hccourier.com. We will definitely keep bringing you the latest of what's happening in Houston County. So just till next time, stay dry, have a good weekend, and hope everyone had a wonderful Easter. And I'll talk to y'all next time. Bye.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Jacob McAdams with the San Jacinto News Times, and I am bringing you all of our most recent news. And I'm sorry that y'all have not heard from us recently, but I'll do my best to get everyone caught up on what's going on here in San Jacinto County. Now, this past weekend, ended here on the 21st, we've had a few events. On the 20th, we had the McLean's Easter Egg Hunt. And if you're not familiar, over in Shepherd, McLean's Food Market, which is the local grocery store there, it's a pretty big one. It's also been around for a long time with the family. It's one of the more historical aspects of the city. But every year for Easter, they host an Easter egg hunt. And it's a pretty big deal. They have hundreds of kids come out there for sure. And they just swarm the areas they pick out for where they have all the eggs. What they do is they divide it up to where children that are 3 and younger, they get to be accompanied by their parents, and they hunt for eggs out across the street from the Shepherd Primary campus. They go to one of the ball fields of the Shepherd Youth League, and they hunt for eggs there. And then kids go who are ages 4 to 6, they get to go to the playground on the Shepherd Primary campus. And this is actually where things get a little bit interesting, because that's where they hide golden eggs. Specifically, they hide the first of 2 golden eggs. And the kids that find them get special prizes. And basically, you know, they have eggs hidden all around the playground. They use the equipment really well. But they had the golden egg hidden, and a young girl named Talia Williams, she found it. And then the kids who are ages 7 to 10, they hunt for eggs over in the area that's right outside of the tennis court, which is also on the Shepherd Primary campus. You know, the tennis court is to the left of the campus, if you're not familiar with it. But basically, they also have a golden egg over there. The kid who won the golden egg for the 7 to 10 division, which her name is Leanna Carey, she won a hoverboard, which was pretty cool. And they also have a drawing for the kids who are in the younger range, and I think they won a Power Wheels vehicle. So they win prizes like that, you know, kids can have fun with, you know, just have, you know, playing outside and whatnot. We also had a recent donation to the Trojan Band over at Cold Spring Oakhurst High School. What happened is they received $1,100 from East Tech's Title. The person presenting it was Patrick Clark from East Tech's Title. Patrick Clark is the first vice president of the Cold Spring San Jacinto County Chamber of Commerce. And he's pretty involved in the community. If you're involved with the chamber in any capacity, you probably know who he is. But he presented the check to them this past Thursday on the 18th. And the check itself actually is going to allow a couple of the kids to be able to go on their trip, which they will be taking here really soon. The trip will actually be going to Washington, D.C., and it'll be the first time for a lot of these kids to not only visit Washington, D.C., but to even get to venture out of the state and really even just this area and get to go up there. They're going to be performing in front of the World War II Memorial, so it's going to be a pretty big deal for these kids. We also talked to Brenda Myers this past week regarding the upcoming Hug a Tree, Kiss a Fish youth adventure. Now, if you're not familiar with this, so I'll give you a little bit of context. It's a pretty big event, and I've covered it for about 5 years, or I should say really, actually 5 years. 5 years, I think, is correct. Each year I've covered it, it's a massive, massive event. So to give a little bit of context, one of our local nonprofit organizations is the Community and Children's Impact Center. And the executive director is Brenda Myers. And this year is actually going to be the 10th annual Hug a Tree, Kiss a Fish. Now, if you've ever talked to Brenda Myers about the event, she will tell you that it gets started like this. She said about 10 years ago, actually, a little boy in Shepherd that could not afford to go camping and fishing. And she talked to his father and asked about it. And the father just said they just did not have the income to supply that. So Brenda Myers decided she wanted to create an event where these kids can come out and have fun. They can go camping. They can go fishing. They can just do a lot of fun stuff. And she says that the first year they had about 79 kids. And last year they had 2,400. Now this is according to her. And they expect to have around 1,500 to 2,000 for this coming event. Now, Hug a Tree, Kiss a Fish, it's a 3-day camping and fishing event that they host. They've had it at different campsites. Last year's and this year's event are actually going to be held at Camp Cullen in Trinity, Texas. And Camp Cullen is owned by the YMCA. Last year, it was a really nice venue. I loved it. It was just really beautiful out there. It's really well set up. And the cool thing about the event is Hug a Tree, Kiss a Fish actually brings in a lot of people. They do more than just camping and fishing. That is to say, there's a lot of events going on. Brenda will tell you on Saturday that there's something happening every hour on the hour. They're going to have performances by a group called the Aztec Dancers. They're going to have a guy named Grant Freeman out there who will be performing a magic show. They have had former members of the Harlem Globetrotters out there. A couple of them are going to be there this year. One of them, for instance, is Reggie Airman Dixon. They will also have some other celebrities out there. This year, they're going to have T. Mike Klebert, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. I could be wrong on that. But he is from Pitbulls and Parolees. They will have boxing champions Maurice Termite Watkins and Reggie Sweet Johnson. Evan Holyfield is going to be there. He is a boxer. He is also the son of boxing legend Evander Holyfield. Roger Rivers from Swamp People will be there. They are also going to have Steve McGranahan, who is more commonly known as the world's strongest redneck. He's going to be doing some cool stuff. And there's going to be other people that are going to be doing some cool things. You know, people, they love doing lots of things. There's going to be vendors set up there that will be showing cool stuff to the kids. There's going to be just tons and tons of fun. Every year I've covered it, I can tell the kids are just having fun. And they've had lots of good celebrities out there. There's even people out that I didn't expect to see as celebrities. So one year they actually had Booker T, who is a WWE wrestler. I got to meet him and seemed like a really cool guy. So it's always a lot of fun to see this. Now, the event will be running from May 17th to May 19th, and reservations are required. Now, Brenda told me that reservations, the deadline is May 1st. So if you want to take your kids there, if you want to register for it, please do so. By the time this podcast has aired, you will have a few days left to do it. If you'd like to register, you can go online to www.campimpacttx.com. You can also call Myers at 936-499-2632. Again, that number is 936-499-2632. Now, also, just keep in mind, if you don't have a kid that would be interested in going out there, or if that's just not something you could participate in, maybe because you don't have kids or whatever, bear in mind there are other ways you can help. They do require some donations to get this event set up. Last time I talked to Brenda Myers, she said they still needed $3,300 to pay for the venue. They get the camp for those 3 days, actually at a pretty discounted price. I think they actually take off more than half, but they still need $3,300 to finish paying for it. They also are in need of food. Brenda had told me primarily they need briskets. As she said, about 27 more briskets to be able to serve everyone meals. They can also take hamburger patties to serve meals to everyone. So, you know, there's other ways you can help out. And there's methods beyond what I'm listing. There's tons of stuff you can do for that event to just help out and make sure these kids have a good time and have a wonderful experience. Well, that's all I've got for today. But stay tuned for our next podcast. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. There's a ton of things going on this week here in San Jacinto County. Until then, y'all have a good one and take it easy.